Our gospel reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in a manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. The word of God for the people of God. We come together tonight for a variety of reasons. For some, it's tradition. Even if you don't go to church any time of the year, Christmas is that special time. You may not even know the reason that it seems so special to you. Maybe because it's an important part of a family tradition, and you want to keep that tradition going. For others, it's just part of who you are. Every time the church is open and there's a service, you are here to worship the Lord. For others, you may be seeking. You aren't even sure what it is that you are seeking, but for some reason you are drawn to this place, this night. For others, maybe it's because someone invited you, and you decided to accept that invitation to come. For others, maybe you heard about the music ministry here at Wesley, and you wanted to come out and hear for yourself. And I'm sure you haven't been disappointed. For others, maybe it's you heard about this Jesus. You don't know anything about him, but you have heard that he has touched people's lives and he has made a difference. And so you wanted to come and see for yourselves. Maybe some of you look at your life and you realize that you are more like Scrooge than Santa Claus. We know that Scrooge was only concerned with himself. Scrooge failed to recognize how it was that he had hurt others, even those who loved him. How he had hurt those who had been loyal to him for many years. And how he ignored the people who were in need. But after his encounter with the ghost of Christmas, Scrooge comes to a realization. He realizes that he needs to change. And he declares, "I will honor Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all year long. I will live in the past and the present and the future. The spirits of all three shall strive within me. I will not shut the lessons out because they teach me." And Scrooge's life changes. Instead of grasping and holding on to all that he has, he becomes a giving person. Instead of being bitter, he becomes loving. Instead of being indifferent to the needs of others, he begins to look for the needs of others and care about those needs. Scrooge's life is transformed from humbug to hallelujah. Saint Nicholas was a bishop in the church in the 4th century. Somehow over the years, his name has been changed, and as I told the kids yesterday, there are 71 names for him. We are probably most familiar with the name of Santa Claus. See, Saint Nick remembered what God had done for him, of how he had transformed his life through the birth, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so he went out to show others that love through generosity. His hope was that others would come to know the Savior of the world. He wanted people's lives to be transformed. Transformation. What does that mean for us? It means that there is a change within us. It means that our hearts are transformed because of the love of Jesus Christ. It means that we have a renewing of our minds so that we can discern the will of God. It means that we commit ourselves to love others as Christ loves us. Sometimes, as the church, we communicate to other people that they need to change their lives. Sometimes forgetting that there are things in our lives that need changed as well. For those who have experienced, we know that it is not of ourselves that that change comes. But that change comes because we have given our lives to the Savior of the world. And it's because of what Christ has done for us and of how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. We are approaching a new year, a time when people make those resolutions, those vows to transform their lives. Most often it's, "I'm going to eat healthier. I'm going to exercise more. I'm going to take better care of myself. I'm going to try and be a better person in the new year." But what we need to understand is that when change comes into our life, especially spiritual change, It's not the same as saying, we're going to try harder. But our lives become better because of the one whose work we are celebrating tonight. The Apostle Paul wrote, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and look, new things have come. What we need to understand is that sometimes those old things don't pass away immediately. See, God knows us so intimately. God created us. He knows us. He knows everything there is about us. We're told that he even knows the number of hairs on our heads. And so he knows what needs to be transformed in our lives, and he knows the time frame of that transformation. Yes, for some, it is, as the Apostle Paul, that when they accept Christ as their Savior, that there is an immediate, dramatic transformation in their lives. For others, when they accept Christ, that transformation is a slow process. But whether it is a traumatic transformation or a transformation that works slowly over time, we need to remember that we are constantly evolving into the person that God has created us to be. That even if there is a dramatic transformation in our lives, that transformation doesn't end because God is continuously transforming us. Day by day, God wants us to grow in our relationship with him and with others. But God is not a dictator. God has given each and every one of us free will. So we're called to get rid of the old and we're called to take hold of the new. In other words, there are things, maybe even perhaps God calls us to leave behind. Things that are near and dear to us. Maybe even people who are in our lives. But we know that we can trust God. We know that God has something or someone better for our future. We know that he wants to enhance our walk with him. Tonight on Christmas Eve, it's the tradition of turning down the lights and singing Silent Night. As you entered the church tonight, you were given a candle, a battery-operated candle. We bought these candles due to the generosity of a donor. We want to be respectful of him, and we want to preserve the carpet, and so we have changed to battery-operated candles. And if you take hold of your candle, you'll see that that candle is hard, and it's not pliable, is it? Sometimes that's how it is with us in our lives. Sometimes our hearts are hard and unpliable. We don't want to open them to even see a glimpse of the one who gives us eternal life. The one who is the light of the world. There may be a variety of reasons for this. Maybe a person is afraid of change. They fear because they don't know what will happen in their lives. But they do know that change will come. Sometimes we're unpliable because of the sin of pride in our lives. I'm capable of living my life. I'm a good person. I work hard. I don't need to give my life over to Jesus. I treat others with respect. I donate to different charities. So why do I need to change? For others, it's because they're afraid of what others will think of them. None of my friends are Christians. So if I accept Jesus for my life and begin to go to church, what are my friends going to think of me? How will that change my relationship with my friends? Maybe even my family. Now, if you were a child, you were given a glow stick. You'll break your glow stick and have it light up, and when we sing Silent Night, you'll hold up your glow stick. Now, in order for that glow stick to glow, what do you have to do to it? You have to break it, don't you? You have to bend it, and you have to hear it click until that glow comes inside. Sometimes we're like a glow stick. It takes something to break us. We have to reach that point, which we often call rock bottom, before we begin to seek the light of the world. And then we may open our hearts and allow Him in. But for some reason, we may not stay connected to Jesus. And just like the glow stick, that light will begin to fade. It eventually goes out. And we just kind of toss it aside and go back to living our lives the way we did before. Then there are wax candles, which you can see down the aisles and on the windows. Some of us are like these candles. A fire is started in our lives and we begin to see a change. Sometimes that flame is strong and steady, and other times it's barely a flicker. When it's strong and steady, we find ourselves constantly reading God's Word, spending time in prayer with Him, worshiping with our brothers and sisters. And when it's barely flickering, we may find that it's hard for us to even pick up a Bible. That we might say a quick prayer to get by for the day. And for some reason, we fail to continue to fellowship with one another. But as the wax candle burns, we see change happening. The candle becomes different. Sometimes there's a small amount of wax that may drip down. Other times it seems as if that wax is overflowing. That's how it is with us as well. Sometimes we allow a little bit of Jesus to flow out of us. Sometimes it's so little, it's hard for others to know that we're really living for Jesus. And other times there seems to be large doses of Jesus flowing from us. And people say, I want what they have. But we also know that as the candle burns, it gets shorter. And that is true for all of us, whether we're hard and unpliable, whether we're broken, or whether our lives are transforming. Because one day, all of our lives are going to cease here on earth. Whether it be because our time here is over, or whether it be because Jesus returns for us. But our life will cease to be. So the question is, have we lived our life to the purpose for which it was created? A candle was created to give us light. Jesus came into the world to be the light of the world, and he calls each of us to be a light as well. But we can only do that when we accept him as our Lord and Savior. When we allow God's Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us and transform us. We aren't called to be the light, but we are called to point others to the light. So as we sing Silent Night, may we know that God's redeeming grace is available to everyone because of the Messiah, because of the Son of God, because of our Savior, Jesus Christ, whose birth we celebrate tonight. Amen.